All right. Good evening. We're going to talk about the Faith Test 2, the Faith Test Part 2. And we had got into the Faith Test last week and talked about how Romans 4, let's go to Romans 4 real quick. Let's do Romans 4. Romans 4, and we'll start here with verse 16. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. And so, who is the father of us all? As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And key verse here, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. What he had promised, he was able to perform. So it says here he was fully persuaded. And if you look here in verse 20, it said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. The Amplified says, no unbelief or distrust, verse 20. No unbelief or distrust made him waver. And to waver means to doubtingly question, you know, question with the level of doubt concerning the promise of God, but grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. So it says not introducing doubt. And the thing is, like, when you operate in belief or in faith, what the adversary tries to offer you is considerations. So now, what are some of the considerations he's offered? He'll offer what other people have gone through. So, like, you know, especially if you watch a lot of the shows of what's happening to everybody else, you know, so a lot of times it hasn't happened to you, but you've put those images in your mind, so you're protecting against something that hasn't existed yet. We always talk about worst-case scenarios. Or you had a bad experience, so you get into the new relationship, you know, with the new beau, but you've had such a bad experience with other relationships. So sometimes the temptation is to look at the new relationship through old relationship lenses. But the new relationship has nothing to do with the old relationship. The other person would have had to train the new person. Like, okay, you're about to go get with Melanie now. Let me tell you how to really hurt her feelings now. You gotta go through this now. You gotta go through all this training, boot camp, and when you release, now you can go hurt her feelings too. Like, I'm gonna make sure I get this right. First of all, I spent no time in training with anybody my wife has ever been with. So, for the record. It's like, all right, so, okay, so we got that. So then, so my son's biological father, I seen him. Okay, so let me see. I seen him one time. It goes right. Right, so I gotta watch what I'm saying here. Like, I ain't trying to incriminate these dudes, but I did run into him that one time. So and then he was at a funeral that I did. And then it was another guy, the guy that put her in the hospital was at the same funeral, which I found out later. She's like, ain't that something? I'm not going to say the name. She's like, they both was there. I was like, really? She said, yeah, such and such had a bald head, so he had cut his hair. So I had seen the biological before, but he had cut his hair. So I've spoken to him twice. That was the second, well, in person. And then the other guy, I said hi to him. I don't want to say, but yeah, he looked bad. That's good. See, that was better than what I was about to say. So I wouldn't even expect that. That's another story. But what I'm saying is these people did not train me. I have no prior information. But I actually was dealing with situations based on what they did. I had no clue. I was walking in all types of traps. You know, like you walk into the trap, the bear trap, and snap your ankle. But what was that? That was the adversary going, hey, Melanie, now, come on now, come on. Really? He love you all like that? You sure? You might want to check. Put them through the test. You better test. And then so you pass the test. You're like, okay, all right. He passed the test. And a couple weeks later, he slipped back in. Well, how you know he just wasn't ready that week? You might want to put him through another test. You know, so you be going through the gauntlet, right? Well, that's the introduction of doubt. Like, trying to cause us to waver. What our relationship with God, it really is, it can seem like too good to be true because it's such a wonderful life. But think about when things are going great, we've gone through so much in our lives, we can find ourselves looking over our shoulder like, okay, everything's going good now. Craziness should be around here somewhere. As opposed to keep moving forward in the things of God and almost trusting that God got the crazy covered. So no matter what's coming, God got it covered because you're rolling with him. And that's a different life of faith. You know, against hope, believing in hope, or calling things not as though they were. So we said that we, in this faith test is where we find out the difference between the OBs and the wannabes. You know, original believers versus the wanna believers, like people that have the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. 2 Timothy 3:5, right? And we also said that in this particular area, this is that nevertheless faith. Like, remember Jesus said, nevertheless at thy will. Nevertheless at thy will. Nevertheless is saying, I'm going to settle for nevertheless than what you have for me, God. I'm going to keep pressing forward at your will, even though this situation seems insurmountable. So when it went, so again, so what God is hoping that when whatever hurdles rise, immediately what kicks in for us is nevertheless. Like, I'm just gonna keep on pressing forward beyond the circumstances, even though they seem to be insurmountable. When the disciples were sent back out, we always talk about the being on that boat and when fishing, and they worked very hard that day. Jesus said, oh, no, I need y'all to go back out there. He said, nevertheless, that we done told all night at thy word. So we had talked about that last week, having that nevertheless faith and that type of faith. That was the faith that Christ used when he sent the disciples out without script. That was the same faith when his mother said, whatever he says, do it. Like she don't know what he going to do. Because what was about to happen had never been done. The miracle that he performed at the wedding. But she said, whatever he says, do it. So it's a whatever he says, do it faith. What does he say in his word? So you know, we've been in situations where we've counseled people or ministered to people. And when you have a problem to be solved or circumstances that you're trying to get out of, right? What happens is you're coming for counseling what? To get out of the circumstance. So what happens is we'll give you a diagnosis, but the diagnosis is based on what? The word. Now, but the diagnosis has to be, you have to attach faith to it. But when you hear what God says, it'll be like, okay, that can't possibly be the solution. So what's the temptation? If you talk to your cousins, your aunts, your little nieces, nephews, whatever, yeah, but you don't understand. What is that saying? That's saying the circumstances, this can't possibly be the solution. Based on, like, I've analyzed the situation. I've broken it down. Logically, this can't be the solution. It has to be something else besides that. But God's word is not based on logic. It's based on faith. God's word, remember we gave you the scripture last week, and we can go to it again just real quick. 1 Corinthians 2. So we just said God's word is not based on logic, is based on what? Faith. It's not based on logic. So if I know that to experience this word, I'm trying to grow in faith, not trying to grow in logic or intellect. I'm trying to grow in faith. I'm doing everything I can to sharpen my faith, not my rationale, my intellect, or my reasoning. So 1 Corinthians 2, and we'll start here, verse 4. And Paul said this. It says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. That's intellect. That's reasoning. It says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Look, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. So stand up and be supported and expect to outlast the circumstances with the support of intellect and reasoning is what that's saying. It says, but in the power of God. So it's saying within the power of God, within the faith in what God says and that power, what you're believing for can stand up and endure anything that comes at it. But if you start to lean to reasoning and circumstances, your feelings, what is happening is eventually the circumstances will overtake what you're believing for, because what you're believing for needs the support of faith in God's word, not fear in the circumstances. Faith in God's word, not fear in the circumstances. And all the intellect or the rationale or the reasoning can do is resurrect the circumstances, create strongholds, constant circumstances that almost paralyze you to talk about faith, to act like you believe, but never actually take a step of faith. And I was listening to my wife ministering to someone today about relationship. You know, actually, it was the guy that went to the bathrooms. He had called in. So I was listening. I just got home. I was listening to her minister. She was talking about relationship. And she was talking about believing for a fulfilling relationship. And again, I'm hearing the conversation. I'm not in the conversation, so I could be saying some of this wrong. But she made a statement I thought was powerful. She says, man, I couldn't leave this earth having not experienced a fulfilling relationship. No, we ain't talking about, you know, I got a girlfriend, I got a boyfriend, I got a husband or a wife, like token. She's talking about experiencing a fulfilling relationship. Now, the interesting thing is she said that, and it just poured through me. Well, it poured through me that I'm experiencing a fulfilling relationship. That part was good, right? And then she was like, man, you know, she says you're married for 8 years, 9 years, I think she said. She shared, look, I've listened to all your business, right? So she said 8, 9 years. Then she said, she says, and you know, you go through all that, and you think, man, like, how, what, after this, what, is it even possible? She says, well, I met my husband, so I'm in the room smiling, like, that's me, I'm the husband, you know, I'm the guy she's talking about. But for me, it was powerful that she feels fulfilled being with me. Yeah, I don't take that for granted. Like, what else would she feel? Of course you feel. No, I don't be thinking like that, you know. You don't know what the other person's thinking. But she feels fulfilled, and I'm a part of it. Right? Now, I'm fulfilled with her. I know that part. But the fact that she said that, okay, what does that got to do with what I'm talking about? We can't. See, it's faith. We marry by faith, and we're growing in love. We're still growing. We're getting closer and closer. We talk about stuff, work through. Okay, man, when you do that, now it hits me kind of like this. Well, okay, when you do that, it hits me like this. We have those conversations. Don't think we ain't still having those conversations. But we got to talk about it, you know. And so what I was thinking about is we started this thing by faith. See, I was trying to control every outcome. Like, okay, I was a product of a divorce, so I'm never getting married unless it's forever. That was my philosophy. So now you set up what you think you need. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but you think what you need for a relationship. So, okay, I need this, these, just use checkpoints to make sure I'm not going to be divorced. Then I meet my wife, and as far as the part you like, all the checks are there. But as far as the circumstances, you already have a son. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, it was a whole lot of other stuff. And so I was like, okay, this is probably not the script. But God said that was my wife. I was going to say, I ain't say the specifics. You said it. You're telling all your business. All right, so, but what I'm saying is, so now I'm going in this situation, and God said, that's your wife. And then God said, that's your wife that you need to engage 5 months later. Man, that's totally off my script. Let's, I ain't knowing about courtship now, you know. Thank God we do. Yeah, the people that's coming down the pipe, they do. So I was like, all right, so, you know, we kind of date for, or whatever we do, whatever you do, for a couple years just to see if this going to take. That's what I'm thinking. God's like, no. That's your wife. What do you need? All your life you've been looking for your wife, I send her to you. Okay. So now we get married. We got married engaged 5 months after that. Y'all know the story. We got married 10 months after that. That's faith. That's faith believing that I've just committed my life. Because I remember a few days before the marriage, I was like, I'm about to get married forever. I mean, you know, I just had to embrace the reality. Like, no, this is it. Like, this ain't no, I'm going to be with Melanie Bradley for the rest of my life. Just want you to deal. It was almost like, you know, a moment with myself. Just want you to understand, Keith, that this is forever. Yeah, man, I just, you know, thank you for making me aware of that a few days before the marriage. Are you trying to make me scared? I'm still doing it, you know. But it's, I still had that moment where it's like, Keith, you know this forever, right, bruh? You know, like, you can't just be doing what you want to do. Faith. So, in our walk with God, it's the same thing. It's faith. And so when she said, I start thinking about us. I can't leave this earth and not experience God. I can't leave this earth and not experience a fulfilling relationship with God. And a fulfilling relationship with God is going to take me yielding, being vulnerable, and look, I'm putting myself on the line out here. Like, I'm actually trusting God's going to do everything he said he's going to do by faith. See, y'all, I know we go into church, we came to Bible study, we talk to people about Christianity, but are we operating in faith? Are we leaping? Because, see, we had to leap to experience this fulfilling relationship for 20-something years. So what I start thinking about is I got this from her years ago. She said, babe, like, I don't know anybody in my family. That doesn't mean there's not nobody in there somewhere, but she hasn't seen fulfilling relationships. You heard me say that in the relationship boot camp. Well, I start thinking, I've really been meditating on this. I don't know a whole lot of people that's walking by faith. I don't know people that's experienced a fulfilling relationship with God. Because it takes faith, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6. So I look at so many situations where people, they talk to other people about faith. Now, what you want to do is you want to use some faith. Now, they give them the scriptures. Mark 11:22, have faith in God. I just quoted the scriptures, about faith. Like, it's all about without faith it's impossible to please God. So what you want to do, my brother, is have faith. I see that. Then a circumstance come up, and it'd be like, well, I don't understand why this is happening to me. Wait a minute. Like Jesus said on the boat, where is your faith? And I'm not saying it like I'm sweeter than anybody. That's what God is saying to us. Where is your faith? Because we got to use faith all the time, every day. And I said, wow, because I was talking to somebody, I'd be talking to different ministers and stuff, and some of the stuff that they were communicating, I was like, oh, wow, like, this person has never used faith. It's like, I'm going to keep everybody under control. As long as I can control it, I'm comfortable with it. But if I got to depend on you, no, I'm not rolling like that. But it takes faith to depend on somebody. It takes faith to believe in somebody. It takes faith that when someone's doing something that's uncomfortable for you, to be patient enough to let them grow. It takes faith for that. So how do we experience a fulfilling relationship? Like, we walk in a church. It takes faith to be a part of a church, especially a new growing church. to watch it grow, because you, in the midst of you, see, when I, oh, this is gold, this is good. When I signed on to my, I'm sorry, that kind of hit me like that. So when I signed on to this relationship with my wife, I'm in a new relationship, and it's by faith. So this is the thing. When you get into a relationship, like, she's at the gas station. Somebody pulls up in a Beamer. I wasn't driving no Beamer. We was driving a Honda. We probably was a Ford Escort. And the dude pulled up, give her a car, you know, here, almost like you know what to do with it, right? And so she has to, by faith, because before she met me, you know, what people had was important. If what people had was important when she met me, we wouldn't be together. Because I was starting from scratch. All I had was a good job. Well, that was not bad, you know, at least I was working. But the point is, it took faith. So, look, same thing in our relationship with God. Like, okay, so there's guys, you know, I was at the grocery store and such and such tried to talk to me. The guy just helped me with my stuff. I didn't tell him to help me with stuff. So she gotta, like, regardless of what's coming at me, that's my man. And same with me. Regardless of who's trying to come at me, look, that's my wife. We could have a heated argument that day. Regardless of the heated argument, that's my wife. Takes faith to do that, right? Same thing with growing in the church. Why are you growing in the church? You know, such and such down the street, they just acquired not literally down the street, but they just acquired a campus, and now, and you know, a millionaire, seven millionaires joined the church and paid for the whole campus. And what they do every time you come, they give you all types of treats and stuff. And then all the kids go on field trips every other week. Very special field trips. In the summer, all the kids go to Carowinds for free. Man, so you walk in the door, and when we gonna send the kids to Carowinds for free at our church? They got a special church. They kids get to go to Carowinds. Man, you by faith, you gotta believe we're growing to that. Because see, it's not about all the candy. It's not about what artist has showed up at the building. You know, well, they just had Vicky Winans at their church. When we gonna have Vicky Winans? I was about to say something. I'm not gonna say that. All right. But when I say that would have been nice. We'd have had to edit that. All right. So what my point is, it's not about who's. Did God tell you to be at this church? Did he tell you to be at this church? That's what it's about. Stops right there. God told me that's my wife. That's what it's about. Now everything else you gotta allow to grow. Because everybody starts somewhere. See, it takes faith to live this life. God told me to marry her. I marry by faith and bring it. Bring the circumstances. Bring the situations. God said, go to Charlotte. That's where you're gonna start a church. She will tell you. No matter what came at us, like, okay, this is what God told us to be. This is what he told us to do. Now, when things look crazy, I wasn't going, well, babe, we might want to think about moving back to Columbus. I mean, you have people that were supporting the church from another city. The first tither was in Florida. I mean, the first tither, the person tithed twice a month to the church, they're in Florida. And what they said was, well, you know, if I was in Charlotte, I would be going to your church. So I actually have my bank automatically send money to a church in Ohio, but I just call the bank. I just have them send it to y'all for as long as the Lord tell me to do. That person tied to the church. They ain't even go to the church. And then we were getting support from all over, more support from other places besides the church itself. But we weren't going, well, since we get more support from people besides the people at the church, and since we already know, we would go visit places, sneak into the city, because we just wanted to go see maybe family members and sneak out. Somebody would find out, because we wouldn't, you know, there was some controversy, so we didn't want to, like, distract people, right? So people would find out we was there. Why didn't they tell us we was there? Man, we would just want to hear. We miss hearing that the ministry and the words, stuff like that. So there's a lot of love, but God didn't tell us to go back there. God told us to come here And no matter what's happened, we ain't wavered. People done flipped, tripped, and did all types of stuff. And we still standing. And she'll tell you, we're like, okay, we're going to talk to God about that. And he'll be like, God, now, what about this right here? So the same thing we're asking you to do, we got to do. You got to say, God, what about this right here? By faith. And we have people that have not been exposed to a lot of things and don't even know it. But we don't go, oh, you ain't been exposed to such and such. You'll never have you doing nothing at the church. What we do is recognize what they do and put them in situations where they could discover. And then if it don't take, then we got to sit them down and go, okay, you got to go through this process. Because you've been in such a bubble, you don't realize there's so much you don't know. You're so busy highlighting what you do know, but that's faith. You see what I'm saying? You got to let people evolve. Like now, some of y'all wouldn't even do it. They'll cut him. Is there any way we can push her out of the church somewhere? Like maybe like when we get to the church, we'll put a sign out there and say, stay outside and listen in on the conference line. We don't roll like that. We'll have faith in every single person. Hey, and it's been some 3 a.m, 4 a.m, there's been some hospital visits, there's all types of stuff, but what? Man, this is our family. We just talking about that coming in here. Faith. All right, so for whatever reason, I'm supposed to talk about that. Y'all still with me on faith? Because, I have faith. I'm believing for a new car. I'm believing for a new house. Faith, I just want all the money in the world to pay off my mom and my dad. Faith, but you know it takes faith for relationships. It takes a lot of faith for a relationship, especially when you're developing new relationships. It takes faith to benefit from a relationship without proximity all the time. Like as we grow, y'all know, like we trying to maximize our time. I told Minister Lamar years ago, because I think for a while, I think we ate like, we was going out to eat like, what? Every, I was like, you've mapped down the years, right? She's like, 2 years, I remember. But we was going to eat all the time. They was like, y'all want to go out to eat? They taking out to eat all the time. And so we'd be out to eat. And in times when we would talk on the phone, Minister Moore and I would talk on the phone. Like, I remember people were saying, like, well, you know, he's like a right-hand guy. There was no right-hand guy. There is no right-hand guy at the church. But he was pressing. Like, I wasn't grabbing him up. He was doing what I used to do in ministry. I'm going to press. I'm going to try to get as much as I can. Man, I talked to this dude extensively, but not because I was chasing him down to talk to him. He was chasing down to talk to me. And I'm going to talk to anybody that's pressing. It's easier for all y'all to press than for... Imagine if I chased all y'all down. Do you know... Listen, y'all ain't getting no word on Sunday because I'd be spent. But that was the... So I said that to say he... But I told him why he was pressing. I said, while I'm talking to you, it could be a random conversation. I said, I'm going to empty out. I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to challenge you here. I'm going to talk to you about the truth here. I said, because we ain't always going to be able to have these conversations. As the church grows more and more, see, some people ain't pressing when they can. So then as the church grows, it'll be like, so ever since the church grown, Pastor Keith don't think about me no more. He's at least called, check on me during the week or something like that. I just be calling as the Lord leads me. Man, I ain't really trying to. I talk to so many people. Huh? Oh, yeah, we was doing Bible study at the house. All right? So then when we started here, a person was like, ever since we got to, the church over there. Ever since we got the building at the church, you know, we don't go to the house no more. Because we used to do God talk. So we used to feed people. Remember the meals, the Bojangles? And you said 2 years. You remember that too? She was like, for 2 years. So we used to feed people all the time, right? And so the person was like, man, I remember we used to go to the house and eat. And I was like, do they realize? Okay, y'all live at y'all houses, right? All right, what does it take? Stop. That's not nice. Glad you ain't on tape. All right, so what does it take for somebody to come to your house consistently during the week? Because your house ain't always show ready, is it? Guess what? Our house had to be show ready all the time. And we were serving everybody. So we you know, and I didn't know, but there was days like, man, like, oh, that's right. We got everybody. Let's scramble. Let's get. Okay, you get over there. I'll get over here. You get the bathrooms. I get such and such. Like, so you're doing that consistently, and a person's like, they don't break brand new. They don't have us at their house. Like, huh? I remember guy talk. We used to always have breakfast. Like, you, Ty back there was like, yeah, that's right. Where's my breakfast? He playing, but that person wasn't playing. Then I was like, do they realize the breakfast cost? Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's an evolving relationship, and it takes faith to evolve in a relationship. Like, when a person said it, she'll tell you, I didn't go, man, who you think you is? Go come to my house. I didn't tell. I tried to give them an understanding. Be patient. Didn't take it personal. Walk the person through. I was like, were you offended because we ain't at the house no more doing Bible study, or we ain't feeding y'all on Wednesday night? I said, we couldn't do that till Jesus come, or Sundays. We was taking everybody out to eat. With our budget now, we took everybody out to eat every Sunday. Actually, with the people we have, listen, we be broke. Y'all come in here and be like, I'll be like, yeah, we having a tip meeting out in the grass because we ain't paid the lease. The day we did 27 people was a stretch. Listen, that was a faith move right there. That bill was nothing to play with. Oh, that day we did 27 people from the church, but some people brought, y'all remember? Some people brought, like they called I didn't say that. Yeah, why y'all trying to point out people? They called other people like, yeah, we going to eat again. You want to meet us there? They took carryouts. Some people, and we wasn't tripping. We was like, go ahead, take a carryout. Right? But some people was a surprise, though. Some people we knew was okay if I call such and such to come. Oh, go ahead, let them come. Then some people just, where the food at? Yeah. Nobody could say at one time that we get offended or tripped. Y'all was there, right? We didn't go, oh, no, no, bruh. No. You weren't in that church. You trying to get a Bo biscuit? Nah. Tell you what, we'll hold your meal at the church for next week. You can pick it up at the church. We ain't roll like that. I'm saying, wow, I don't know how I got into all that. But we're talking about the faith test, and it takes faith to grow in relationships. That's how I got into that. And so even when Moses was sent to Pharaoh, so Moses was sent to a people that, listen, it's a benefit to Pharaoh to keep your people a slave. They building all those pyramids. And so when Moses was sent to him, you tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I can see Pharaoh looking at him like, are you, this free labor? Are you kidding me? Man, please, roll up out of here. What you gonna do? I got an army, it's you by yourself. But he had to go. No matter what, he had to go. He sent them. That was Jonah's problem at first. Remember, Jonah was like, Nineveh? You talking about the Nineveh. Man, them people crazy, man. I'm not that God. Listen, tell you what. He was willing to go out to sea and drown than to go to Nineveh. Because when they found out, okay, somebody on the boat ain't being obedient to God, that's probably me. Yeah. Hey, that's no problem, guys. No problem. This ain't no issue. Just throw me out the waters. Throw me out to sea. Like, why? Because he didn't have the faith. God sent you to do something. To confront the most difficult people to talk to. They had a reputation. They might have took his head off trying to tell him what to do. We got to have faith. The scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 2, I believe, it says, fear not their faces. Don't be dismayed by their looks or their speech. Fear not their faces. Don't be dismayed by their looks or their speech. But we make decisions based on how people look. See, it takes faith to do that. To look beyond the countenance and minister to the heart. We have to do that. Like, we're not even talking to people about Jesus because they go, they don't look like they're going to be favorable here. You know, this is not. I mean, if an audience shows up for our outreach, we're going to talk to them. But remember I told you the other day, we got outreach every day. With all the people we talk to, I don't know if they're going to take this little Jesus talk. Nah, based on their footprint, they probably ain't going to want to hear this. But it's not about being favorable. It's about sharing what's been freely shared with you. It takes faith to do that. In every situation that you actually speak out and do what God tells you to do, it changes lives. Because the Holy Spirit shows up to support what you're doing or saying. You tell somebody what God says, and you're trusting that God will back you. And you get so many testimonies. People call you back and talk to you like, man, you know, I had a guy. He was playing for, he was a top college athlete. So he was going through some stuff. Well, he wasn't doing some things, I guess, right. So I had this reputation. They called me Preach. So the guy set him up and brought him to the house. Now, it's a whole nother flow. I'll just let y'all know. If you come to the house, it's a whole nother flow. Because I'll be like, you at my house. Just like when I go to your house and you might drink, you might listen to all types of music. I can't tell you nothing in your house. You in your house. Do what you do. And if I come to your house, I'll never trip. But if you come to my house, I'm going to do what I do. So I started talking to the dude. And I was a little more aggressive back then. You know, stuff I'd be trying to shave off of some people that I know. But I was kind of, fresh out the pack. I'm going to tell you the truth. So I just told this dude the truth. And so he told me the next day in service. Next day in service, he came up to me. He's a college athlete and handed me $20. I was like, what's this for? He said, well, the Lord told me to give it to you. He says, by the way, when I left your house, I was hot. Who does he think he is talking to me? So I'm walking out to the car. Man, who he think he is? Man, he ain't nobody. I get in the car and the Holy Spirit said, who he think he is? He talking to you. That's who he's talking. Who was he talking? He talking to you. What he told you was the truth. So he came back and said, man, I didn't want to hear what you had to say, but it's the truth. And for me, it's faith. I'm telling you something. Everybody around this particular person at the time was pumping them up. You wonderful. You special. Because, they have a high platform. And then I roll up on them and say, oh, the reason why you're dealing with this is because you did that. And you're doing that. And the stuff I was telling them, no one knew. I didn't even know the Holy Spirit told me. And he came back and says, man, I didn't want to hear that, but it was the truth. Whole life changed. God wants us to change lives, but it's going to take faith, right? And so you have to pass the faith test, and you have to move beyond the intimidating circumstances. Scripture says in Isaiah 53:1, whose report shall you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. And so let's go to Acts chapter 28 here as we wind down here. So we're talking about the faith test. For whatever reason, again, when I put a sermon together or notes together and I write down keys, after I finish with the keys, I take it and I offer it up to God. It says, Lord, you can do what you want with it. So if you ever see me just say, okay, well, I don't know where that came from because I didn't script it, but I have to yield to the Holy Spirit because it's something that he wants to get to us that's outside of the scripted notes sometimes. So what we just finished talking about is not in my notes. So that was the Holy Spirit. All right, so Acts chapter 28, right? Is that what I told you guys? Acts chapter 28, verse 24. look at this. It says, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. So we know in a church, just because everybody's at the church doesn't mean everybody believes. Because a lot of people say, I don't understand why they're doing what they're doing. They get the same word as I do. The same word is being offered. That doesn't mean the same word is being absorbed. That doesn't mean the same word is being believed. Now, we already know some, the scripture says in Hebrews, the word profited us, but it didn't profit them. It says because they didn't mix it with faith, right? So it's not, they didn't mix it with what?
Faith.
So if you don't mix what you hear with, if you don't attach your faith to it, it doesn't profit you just because you heard it or you can regurgitate it or quote it. It profits you when you apply it, when you take steps of faith in harmony with it, right? And here it says, some believe not. In verse 25, it says, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. Seeing you shall see and not perceive. So it's saying that you look with your natural eyes, but hear with your natural ears, but you won't understand with your spiritual ear. You'll look with your natural eyes, but you won't perceive with them. Look beyond what seems to be obvious. It says, for verse 27, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Look, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. It said, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, look, the Jews departed and had great reason among themselves. So here you had some believed and some departed. Some believed and some departed. And the thing is, when you see here, you have ears, but you're not hearing, and you have eyes and you're not seeing, we always think it's just the people doing crazy sin. Do you know there are people in the church, people in our church, that they hear to a point. They see to a point. Not because they can't see any further, they don't want to. Because now that it's going to challenge them to come out of their comfort zone. Anytime you're fighting to protect your comfort zone, what you're saying is, I don't believe. See, because I'm not going to fight to protect my comfort zone if I believe, because I'm trusting that this level of comfort that I've gotten to, no matter what God asked me to do, I'll still be in that level of comfort, because my comfort is in God. My rest is in the Lord. See, anytime I hold back, I'm trying to protect what's comfortable for me, and I'm afraid to go in the uncertain place. See, the uncertain place, you have to go with God. In the safe place, you don't need God. But God, why would God keep you in a safe place where you don't need him? And he's developing a fulfilling relationship with you. God's always sending you to a place where, okay, God, you know I can't do this without you, so I'm going if you're out ahead of me. If you're not, I'm not going. You know, you know, as we grow in the church, you guys will come up, and you do. You come up with some powerful, some wonderful things. I think they're great. But we ain't doing nothing unless God's going to be involved with it, even though it's great. Even though such and such is doing it, and such and such church is doing it, it's very successful. I ain't doing nothing, or she ain't doing nothing, or we ain't doing nothing unless God says it, right? Because everybody can't do everything. And God has something he wants heirs to do. So we're patient. We may give you an assignment. You go, well, you gave me the assignment. I did the work. How come, you didn't immediately react to it? One, there's another 100 assignments going on, not just yours. That's one thing. And two, we ain't in no rush, because we don't want to get out ahead of God. We don't just want to rush to do stuff to do it, or rush to do stuff because such and such did it at such and such church, or we used to do it at our old church. Because we ain't rushing to do stuff just because we comfortable to do it. If I do it this way, I'm more comfortable. We do it that way. I ain't done it that way, and then I won't be an expert. No. We're doing things that we need God to do, right? And it takes faith to do that, right? It takes faith to do that. So some believed and some departed, right? And if you read, I'm gonna give you this, the passage, but slow down, Keith. In John chapter 13, 21 through 28. When you read through that, you'll notice something. Like the Bible says, was it Elijah? He was and he was not. They're good. They're fine. Yeah, they're fine. Something happened, they'll come out. Yeah, they're all right. Trust me, they're good. They drop stuff, you know, they play. All right, so it says, the Bible says Elijah was and was not. But I want to make the case, Judas was and he was not. Judas was a believer, and then he was not. He was in faith, and then he was not. And it's so interesting, like Judas was on a team, and then he was not on a team. And the trip is, it took place in his heart, in his level of belief. His friends didn't even notice it. They at the table going, who's going to betray you? Jesus even told them. They're a person that stops. And they still tripping, like, where Judas going? He going to betray him. That's where he going. Y'all paying attention? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, Judas believed at one time. So we like, as we grow at the church, you know, some people, well, I don't believe nobody's sitting here, but some people that go to the church may not be going to the church because they may believe to a point, and then they're not going to believe. Don't make them evil, but we don't have to be tripping. They don't necessarily have to be tripping. They could just decide not to believe. Judas was with Jesus. Then y'all might go, well, you selected the person. How could you not notice the person wasn't going to believe no more or wasn't in faith no more? What's wrong with you? Okay, so you saying that to Jesus too? Because Jesus selected Judas, didn't he? I was taught this. One out of every 12 people that's with you could betray you. I got that on good authority. Jesus. Right? Because some people going to believe and believe not. And we go, we all trip. Because but we went to the picnic together. Man, and hold on to those memories. But that don't mean everybody going to want to keep going to the picnics with you. And I had people, you know, young guy, mentored for a while. Man, I thought this dude was going to be the next whoever, the next powerful man of God. So basically, I wasn't even thinking about him. I wasn't thinking about him from the standpoint of like, you know, make sure you read, make sure you do this, because he was rolling, carried his Bible everywhere he went. Everything he saw me do, he did. And one day there was a shift. I didn't even recognize it. Because what? I'm figuring business as usual. Well, the person got caught up in lust. Well, wasn't that he put up no flare? I'm in lust right now. You didn't know. And he got clouded. The greatest ministers, the greatest men of God, women of God, lust is coming at everybody at a great rate. Listen, you could be minding your business, lust be, hey, what's happening? How you doing? I just thought I'd visit. Dude, you ain't call ahead? Nah, I just figured I was in the area. Thought I'd stop in your crib. Right? So you have to constantly stay locked in to not yield to it. We see it clouds the mind, and the people hiding it, and they think it's obvious to people that's in the light. Ain't I right, babe? It's obvious, but it's not obvious to you wicked, lust person you are. It's obvious so we know how to help, but we see it plain as day, right? So see, again, it takes faith. That's why some believe and some believe not, because if you allow the world in, it's going to taint your faith. It's going to bring in doubt, and before you know it, you was rolling, and then you don't even believe no more. So that's why you have to protect your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. The scripture says in Numbers 13, because God is about to take a lot of us into places we've never been, and it's not within our control. All right, so I'm going to reference Numbers 13 because I have my second oldest Bible, and all the way up to Numbers is all messed up, so I can't even read Numbers 13 so right now. But Numbers 13, verse 33, when they were sent out to spy out the land, so God told them what? Hey, go into the promised land, milk and honey. You got everything you need. So I don't know who thought of this, but like, let's send somebody to spy out the land. What you spying out the land for? Just go where God told you to go. But they sent 12 folk, and Joshua and Caleb went. And so when they went, they came back, and they said it was an evil report, because any report that's against what God says is an evil report. They was like, man, they like giants. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. You read that in verse 33. He said, yeah, it's flowing with milk and honey, man, but, man, we can't do nothing with them. First of all, how do you know how you look to them? Did you interview them? Hey, how do we look to you? Oh, grasshoppers, huh? They didn't say they interviewed them. They perceived them greater than themselves and came back with that picture, except for Joshua and Caleb. They said, nah, man, we're well able to take the land. First of all, God told us it's ours. That's all we need, right? What did God say? See, it takes faith to get past how it's perceived. It seems insurmountable, but what lenses are you looking through? Your past, your experiences, your feelings? Your comfort or your obedience? Are you looking through the lenses of your obedience? That's what's happening in the faith test. The faith test is trying to challenge us to always look through the lenses of obedience. If you go to Numbers 14, 1 through 13, you can write that down in your notes. It says God wasn't pleased with their unbelief. Why? So you guys, you know, you got parents right there. You tell your kids something because you love her, but you've been around a lot longer than her. And you're telling her stuff what's best for her. You're not going, hey, honey, let's get together. Tell Tia something. That's going to just mess her all up, boy. And if that don't hurt her, nothing will. This will be exciting, boy. Let's watch her get hurt. Boy, I haven't seen her cry in a while. Woo! Boy, now that hurt, didn't it? Woo! Oh, you be all right, girl. Now, I don't see y'all rolling like that. You're telling her stuff so she doesn't get hurt. But there's some things she believes and some things she believes not. How you feel when she don't believe? Your parents. Your parents. You tell your kids something, they be like, yeah, right, really? How you feel? Ooh, guess what? They don't believe us again. I'm so excited. Oh, I'm good. I'm got up today, ready to go to work. And I have so much energy because my child doesn't believe nothing I tell them. Woo! I'm so happy, thrilled. Woo! Let me tell them something else that they won't believe. That's how you rolling? Some of y'all whole day jacked up, but I don't understand why they don't believe me. I'm probably one of the few people that's been there for them. Oh, don't let them get a little older in the teenage years and start believing somebody in school. You telling them one thing and the person they just met, known for 6 months, telling them, and they going, you don't understand. You just against me. Oh, I'm against you now. You just went in that refrigerator, ate my food, but I'm against you. You just got up out my bed, put on the clothes I bought you, strapped on your Apple Watch. Thought I slipped that in there. Right? Oh, but I'm against you. This person ain't did nothing for you, but convince you with words. They just said, yes, 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 you right. Oh, they tripping. But you rolling with them. How you feel about that? Excited? Now, some of you have already experienced that. I ain't trying to take you back to that experience, but you've already experienced that. All right, so we've experienced it, right? Like, I used to be like, is this dude, what is he on, crack? Like, are you kidding? You know, I remember if he came, I'm a little advocate for coming at your moms. You know, all y'all went through, even birthed the child. So he said something, I was like, are you out your mind? I said, your mama wiped your, you know, y'all know. My fault. Bad picture. But y'all know what I mean. Like, when you were going to be nobody, your parents gave everything. They ain't know you was going to be the greatest whatever soccer player in the world or the greatest singer. They treated you like you was going to be the greatest singer, the greatest soccer player by faith. The person that's signing on is signing on to the incentives. Remove the incentives, see what they do. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you see the different flow, and it's going to take faith. See, God's the same way. Like, I'm God. I designed you. I'm telling you how to be fulfilled, and you don't believe me, but you're listening to what the news tell you. You listening to this person that got a degree in psychiatry. I'm God. I have all wisdom. You listening to what the doctor said, what your cousin said, what your mama said, what your aunt said. I'm God. What else could you possibly believe by what I tell you? That's how you think God feel. You believe in somebody besides him? Based on the circumstances? Oh, even sometimes believing yourself and your feelings over what God said. And God, no, I know what God be saying because he said it to me. He's like, Keith, like, seriously? Like, why do you even trust your feelings? Hasn't worked before. Like, he just broke me down. Like, Keith, are we going to have this conversation right now? I know we're not having this conversation. Like, I know you ain't going by how you feel on this one. Dude, please. That ain't never worked. You might want to try me on this one because you done blown it many a times on your feelings. Even if we be in situations where my wife will roll, she has a whole nother design than me. So I'm learning that all the time. And some stuff she's discovering about herself, so she may not, God has to tell me because she don't even realize it yet. So we was having a discussion, boy, I'm putting myself out here on this one. So, but we was having a discussion, okay, I don't know if I can say the specifics, but it's something, okay, I may do something, and then she'll chime in on what I'm doing. She'll support and chime in. So I don't do that. I don't roll like that. So I was talking to the Lord. The Lord was like, yeah, because you know how to help me. I said, man, you always got to tell me stuff that I need. Right? But it was true. He was like, you got to look at your wife as a different design. So she's going to do things differently because she's designed differently. She can't help but to help. Y'all probably already know that. You know, talk about mama of the church. You never thought you'd be the mama of the church, but you are. Right? You know what I'm saying? But it's a different design. So when you start getting frustrated because somebody is designed different, now she's probably so loving, she don't say it enough, but I'm sure she gets frustrated by my design. Like, bruh, like, I don't need protection on this one. I got that one. I don't need you to fix it. I got that too. Matter of fact, I don't even need you to analyze. I don't need you to analyze this one. I just want to talk. Could you shut up? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a reality. She hasn't said those words, but I'm sure they've crossed her mind to and fro. Because you ain't got to shake your head. Yeah. Ain't nobody asked you for it. Amen, brother. Yeah, she's like, but you understand what I'm saying? Two different designs. So it takes faith for us to harmonize this life out. And so, again, what we're trying to do is, I'm sorry, that scripture on the word didn't profit them is Hebrews 4:2. I'm sorry, I didn't give you the scripture. Not being mixed with faith. So I'm going to give you this last piece here. What we're trying to do in this faith test is press through the wind of unbelief. So unbelief is coming at us like a storm. Like, Mark, it's coming at you like a, like every time, you remember, as you've been growing, God will say, okay, I need you to step up in this area, I need you to do a faith. But how come that week, the stuff that you knew you need to step up in, it wasn't as crazy. It was kind of like, I know I need to walk by faith on this one. I'll get to it. But it wasn't coming at you crazy. But as soon as you decide, I'm about to do this, all of a sudden, all types of stuff start coming. Like, no, you ain't. Right? Come at you like this. Well, you got to press through the wind of unbelief. And you got to embrace the faith test. See, it should be expected that there's going to be situations that's going to intimidate you from believing. The adversary don't want you believing. You unstoppable if you believe, right? So, and that's what happened. Like you'll see people start hating on you, tripping on you. But hate is an armor of unbelief. It's an armor of unbelief. Why? Because when you start to talk to people about faith and stuff like that, they don't want to consider believing you. Because then they got to believe. It's like they're almost like, listen, we deal with it at the church. I have every level from those that are fresh out the pack in God to those that have been in the kingdom for the longest. Sometimes we're communicating things from God, and some people might go, no, that probably didn't come from God because I'm not comfortable with that, and I don't believe. Oh, I hear from God too. You know what basically they're saying? I don't want to believe. I've been comfortable. Why are you challenging me to step out beyond this comfort zone? I'm not challenging to do nothing. Talk to God. That God is challenging you. And so the thing is, you have that which is healthy because it's just a person who's uncomfortable. But then you have the people don't want to ever want to believe. Like, you know, your family members or friends you talk to. So what they do is, their thought is, if I don't want to consider believing you, so I have to devalue you on my sight. So I have to find something wrong with you. So you have you can have a child or a friend or a spouse or something. I got to find something wrong with you to devalue you, so then I don't have to accept what you're saying. So now I have to believe like you believe. Because you're making me uncomfortable with this believing stuff. Take that belief over there. I saw an athlete kept talking about Jesus, this, that, and the other. Man, I've been around sports for a long time. Man, they was going overtime on dogging this dude out. Well, he's not this. This dude's winning, doing all types of, but just because he's doing praise and worship on the sidelines, now you dogging him out. You know what? He was reminding them, it's like, no, we don't want to believe. Our basketball program in Ohio, we used to praise the Lord before and after games. It wasn't just church league. So we lift our hands up. Hallelujah, glory to God. We lift you up, you know, win or lose, as my wife was sharing 1 week. And, man, I used to watch, like, everybody was against us. the refs. And I said, Lord, what is this? It was like, it was so weird. Like, it was obvious, you know, like the game I saw the other night. So it was obvious. I said, Lord, what is this? He said, Keith, you're scaring them. Because up to a certain point, at least they had basketball. They could say, well, the reason why I don't go to church and live for God is because it's going to mess up. It's going to affect my game. Christians are soft. And Christians aren't good at sports. At least they were telling themselves. But we roll on, we roll up on the court, praising the Lord, and balling. So now I'm like, oh, no, no, no. If they win, we ain't going to have no excuse. So you try to devalue the individuals. Well, you're not aggressive enough. You're not. I used to watch people talk to Phil. Be like, well, you know, I just think he needs more this than another. He needs to believe God. That's what he needs to do. Right? You see what I'm saying? But and that's what people are trying to do in your life, because you have those that don't want to embrace the faith test, but then you have people who are running from the faith test. See, they don't, and then so they'll devalue you first because they don't want to believe you. Then they'll discredit you so others won't believe you, because then that's going to put pressure on them. So they'll start saying things, well, you know, Pastor Keith, I don't know. Pastor Mel, I don't know. Marcus, him and Stella, they all right, but you sure, you know, they got faith, you know. Why? Because that's what it is. Not only they don't want to believe, they don't want other people believing you either. So they'll try to devalue. So you have to watch that. And then the last thing is you have to watch envy. You know, so, and what that is people protesting the need for being tested. It's almost like, why are you testing me? Right? No, why I got to go through the faith test? Because everyone has to go through it. All right, so we'll close out there. I thought I'd at least give you that little nugget. And so what stood out for you? What did you get? How were you challenged in the area of faith? I know we hit a lot more than normal for today. Took a little bit of effort.